right. Well, listen, church, we bring all these children up here. We have classes for them. By the by, if you'd like to participate in sharing the word with these children, if you'll get a hold of our children's team, anybody on that team can point you in the right direction. We have a great program for these children. If you want to participate, you are able to. But we have to call them all up here because we want to, we're just blessed by these kids. Not necessarily all of them, but the other ones. No, that's, you got an advocate out there. So anyway, we just love to see their perfect smiling little faces before they go back to those classrooms, before they go back to those teachers, before they go back to a place where they can get a hold of this gospel message in a way that they savvy. Yes, sir. Then we'll get them up here and we'll pray for them. So church, if you will, pray with me. Cowboys, let's all pull our hats off. And let's everybody, let's bow our head and close our eyes and let's focus on Jesus for just a second while we pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that our yesterdays are gone. And Lord, all of our sins are forgiven. And that's our prayer that these children will go back into them classrooms and they'll be able to savvy that. They'll be able to take a hold of that. So open up their hearts and minds and give those teachers the words. Or we just ask for a special blessing this morning on these children and those teachers and those classrooms as we send them to your care. And we pray all this on the authority of your son, Jesus. Amen. All right. Everybody's got to ride to the back at a trot. Everybody go at a trot. Yep. Well, ride it in. Not everybody's trotting. She's taking shortcuts. No, she's taking long cuts. You got, is it okay for him to come up here?
No.
Do we need some church discipline on this deal? He looked like he had some authority, so I'm not going to interfere with him.
It's not there, Pat.
Anyway, if we had any serious elders in this church, they'd have tackled the guy. Nope, he's still alive. All right, working out good. I noticed this up here on the back. I didn't realize what it was until I thought about it for a minute. So I just thought I'd just leave the Bible right there. Bonus. So this morning, I got a lot on my brain. Of course, it's always that way. It ain't always nice. But this morning it is nice. This morning I got, so I'm excited about my faith. I'm excited about our church. I'm excited about who we are in this community and how we impact and affect and touch and reach. And we ain't church for us. We're church for the unchurched. We're church for them that ain't here. We come together and we get stronger and better. So that we can take this hope that we have out into that place. You've all seen my little dog out there, Howdy, an extraordinary beast. But I just got to tell you, so a long time ago, probably close to 13, 14 years ago, I met a guy up at the sale barn and I traded for that pup. He was just 6 weeks old and then that she dog and them pups were in the bed of that truck. And so I thought to myself, that's one of them dogs I want, self. So the boy said, which one do you want? And I reached down and I picked up that dog. And I said, I like this one. Of course, he said, boy, you got a good eye for a dog. That's the best one in the bunch. That's secret code for that's the most expensive dog I got. But I do got a good eye for dogs. So anyway, I pulled this folding knife out of my pocket and I told him I'd swap him even for it. For about a year and a half, I figured that guy got the best part of that deal. Because while that dog loved me and went with me and learned and he was smart and I could stop him and I could start him and I could do all the things that a man wants to do with a dog, I could do with him and he paid attention. He stayed with me. He learned. He was good. He went where I went. He goes where I goes. He stays where I stays. He was just great about everything in the world. What a great dog. But I'm going to just tell you, when we got around cattle, and he loved cattle, you know what he did? Ran. I'm talking about like a bullet with his nose in the wind, his old ears flapping back there, his old tail sticking straight out, running 300 miles an hour. And he would run around. It didn't matter if the cattle were standing still or if they was running. He was running around them. Not close to them, just around them. And boy, and I'd try to encourage him to bite something, but he had no intentions of biting anything. Biting just wasn't in his wheelhouse. And a year and a half, maybe not quite that long, I'm thinking, that sure was a good knife that I swapped for that dog. Every once in a while, a yellow butterfly would flutter up off the ground and that dog would get distracted. And I think, yeah, that sure was a good knife. And then one day, this cowboy friend of mine, and I'm helping him out, and we're going to go gather this little old pen of these yearling bulls. There's probably 25 or 30 of them. He said, listen, man, we're going to go get them, and there's some woods out there, and it's about a 200-acre trap. And he said, listen, I got two or three good dogs, catch dogs, cur dogs, and they'll bite a cow right in the face. He said, I got my good dogs here, but I got these two or three pups I want to run in there, too. And he's only saying this kind of being nice to me because he assumes I've got a good using dog. He's seen Howdy. He's just being nice. I said, oh, yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Them pups are probably a little 3, 4, 5 months younger than old Howdy is. So we strike out. And boy, them good dogs go into them woods and they start gathering bulls. And them bulls ain't never been caught before. And certainly ain't never been around dogs before. And if you know anything about dogs, what's going on is them old cur dogs just keep circling them cows, them big bull calves, right? They're big yearling, 800-pound bulls, and they just keep circling them. And so every time one runs off by himself, he literally gets dog bit. And the way to save yourself if you're one of them bulls is to get back close to them other bulls. Pretty soon all them bulls are out in the open, and all of them, they're standing around each other, they're looking out, and because they're young, because they're kind of crazy and wild bulls, every once in a while, one of them will peel out because them dogs are circling and barking. Howdy's circling, but he's way out there. And he don't ever bark. But them dogs are just waiting for one of them to break loose by themselves. So every once in a while, a couple of them, or two or three of them, or maybe even one of them takes off, right? And then a couple of them dogs will just stay there. Them good dogs will keep them bulls packed together. And them others will go out there and just torture him until he can't help but get back in that bunch. And at the end of the day, the great thing about good dogs like that is that it don't matter what kind of cows you got. They ain't going to go off by themselves. So you can take that little old herd and you can just take them anywhere you want because they're too scared. You couldn't pour water between them because they do not want to be by themselves out there and get dog bit. And so all this time is going on and we just sit back 30, 45 minutes, close to an hour, we watch them dogs torture them calves. And it's good watching. But I notice old Howdy's circle is getting smaller. And he's getting smaller because them barking dogs make him a little bit crazy. He's excited about this deal. And so as he gets closer and closer, every once in a while, he whiffs right by one and kind of bites him on the fly. And then pretty soon, we're getting towards the end of it. Think about moving all these calves up to the barn lot. We're going to move them a little bit. And I recognize that Howdy's slowed down that running deal. He's slowing down. He's waiting for one of them to break loose a little bit. So poke his head out, do something like that. He's bit a couple of them. I'm pretty proud of that dog. Like, whoa, what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on? This dog's figuring something out. And so as he get ready to move these cows, I look up and Howdy is in the mix. This is the closest he's ever been to a cow, right? He's come close to biting some yellow butterflies, but he ain't never bit a cow. And he's biting these dudes in the face a little bit. Every once in a while, he'll slip around behind one that ain't paying attention, bite him just because he can. He has learned something. He's become something. He got involved in this thing, and he grasped his purpose. The truth is that Howdy was always a good dog. Howdy was always a cow dog. He just didn't know who he was. See, he didn't know how to be who he was. And it took something like that for him to turn the corner. It took something like that for the light bulb to go off and him go, now I get this deal. He always loved this game. He always loved cattle. He always had it in him. It was always who he was, who he is. He just didn't know how to deal with that. He didn't know what it meant for him to be a cow dog. I couldn't teach him. It had to happen like that. It had to happen in that deal. And so by doing that, he embraced being a cow dog. And I'll tell you today, he's as good a using dog as ever there was. And he saves me 100 miles all the time because he'll go do stuff and keep me from having to go all the way over there. He'll keep things going so I can stay on the side. He's great at being a cow dog. But for a long time, I sure missed that pocket knife. Because I kept thinking to myself, wasn't fair. And the dog just wouldn't make. I could see it in him. I could hope for it, but something had to happen to him. The light bulb had to go off in him. So I say that so I can say this, Christian. Those of us who are saved, redeemed, called, chosen. It can be like that for us. Sometimes we forget our purpose. We forget our calling. We sometimes forget, or maybe we never even really understand or understood that coming to Jesus isn't about palling around with Jesus. So coming to Jesus is not like me and Jesus are best pals now, and now I'm going to quit smoking, drinking, cussing, and going with girls that do. I'm going to start going to church a lot. I want to start behaving better. Well, that's what happens in our lives when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us. But can I tell you, that's going to church and trying to behave better and doing those kind of things is just kind of like that dog circling that herd. Just running, just loving life, just feeling like God's got me. I'm doing right what God wants me to do. I'm just running 300 mile an hour. There's cattle out here, and I know, and this is great, and this is my purpose, but it ain't. Howdy always is, always was, and always will be a cow dog. And Christian, you are always going to be saved. There's a purpose for you. There's a reason that you got there. Can I tell you that Howdy did not choose me? I reached in the back of that pickup truck and I chose him. I reached down in there and I picked him up. I chose that dog. And the reality of that is that he instantly embraced that. That's what a good dog will do. He embraced that. He wanted to be with me. He wanted to be a part of me. He wanted to go where I go and stays where I stays. That was easy for him to do. But you know what the reality is? He didn't recognize his purpose in life. Because he would get out there around cattle. When I'd ride out, he would ride with me. Out there, he was free to roam. Out there, it was fun. Out there, he was in his element. Out there, he was doing it. But he wasn't doing anything. He was just with me. Romans 8:28. Open your Bibles if you got them. If you ain't got one, poke your hand up. We got a truckload of them. It's so important that you read this. It's so important that you know this. Not that I say this, but that you know this and you grasp this. And in this Bible, the book of Romans, about two-thirds of the way through your Bible is the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Romans is on page 862. Romans 8. 862. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. So when you get there, I want you to read this familiar verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It says this, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them." Hear me. God has a purpose for you. Not just palling around, not just being a better version of the old you. He has a purpose for you, Christian. In 29, it said, "For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. And having given them right standing with Himself, He gave them His glory." Oh, we got to take a hold of that. This is the reality of our Christianity, of our faith, of our life. This is the truth. We have a purpose. We're not saved just so we can show up here in church and be together on Sundays and then you can go home and be a better version of the old you. There's a purpose that you will fulfill in your life. Because remember, God chose you. Whether you face it or not, you're going to be God. You're going to bump into that. It might involve a bunch of barking dogs and a bunch of yearling bull calves one day. But you're going to realize you got some authority. You're going to realize that you've got some bite. You're going to realize that God's got a purpose for you to do something. And when you do, you're going to be all in. When you do, you're going to be all in. I want you to see another little promise. Turn the page to Romans chapter 11. On page 866, a couple pages over, in Romans chapter 11 and verse 29, underline this promise. For God's gifts and God's call can never be withdrawn. Romans chapter 11 and verse 29, for God's gift and God's call can never be withdrawn. You're saved. You've got this. You'll answer. And the sooner you recognize that it's not just running and with your nose in the wind and enjoying this life, that there's a purpose for you, that you're going to get busy fulfilling what God has called you to do. Some people do it, amen, for them young kids. Maybe back there, kids are going to take right off with their calling in life. But for a lot of us, it's going to happen later in our life. We're going to move into it as adults. We're going to recognize it. Maybe feel a little bit foolish for being so late coming to the party. But the reality is, let's embrace it. Let's embrace it. Let's be different. Let's be called. Let's be moved by the Holy Spirit of God living inside of every born-again believer to do what God's called us to do, to be those men and women. And I don't want to just say that it's easy to come to church and wake up every morning and read the Bible and to pray and do all that. Keep doing it. It is great. It is part of our purpose. But don't raise your hand, but answer this. What do you do other than that? Because all of that is for you. We are here so we can individually come together and be stronger, understand better, learn something. We pray because we're asking God to help us move into this. We read so that we understand more. We worship because we feel compelled to do that. But what do you do the rest of your day? Well, if you spend an hour doing that, I'm talking to me, in the morning, what about the other hours that you're awake? What do you do with it? Look after yourself, take care of yourself, spend time with yourself, try to figure out what you need, what you want, what you feel like you've got to have, because truthfully, that's what we do. Take care of ourselves. We feel pretty good about this solid little bit of time that we've given to God right there in the morning, but the reality of that is that's exactly what Howdy did for that first year or so of his life. He loved being with me. He went everywhere I went. He would do anything I asked him to do. I could stop him and start him. But he didn't know he was a cow dog. He didn't know he had authority. He didn't know he could position himself, that he could bite himself, that he could move and order cattle around. All he knew was he loved being around them. He loved having space. Sometimes us Christians just love being in church, just love being in prayer, just love worshiping. But we're called to do something more. We're called to affect this community that we live in. We're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus out there, outside of those gates, into the broken world where there is trouble. We don't understand it sometimes. And I'll be honest with you, it's not just me. It's everybody. We're quick to make an excuse about why I can't go and serve and do that with the church. See, the church organizes things on purpose. Other churches organize things on purpose. We do this, and we talk ourselves right out, well, I've got stuff I need to do today. I don't have time for the church. I go to church almost every Sunday. I'm always there on a Wednesday night. I'm going to tell you the reason I can't serve the church. And that's just you running in circles. That's just you and I thinking, well, I got enough Jesus in me to make it work. I'll serve another way. There's not a church in the world that doesn't need people to stand up and take the ministry and the hope of Jesus into the world. That's the only reason the church exists. But let's take a hold of this thing. Let's look at the gifts that we've been given by God to do this very ministry thing. Trot to your right to 1 Corinthians. That's the next one horse town on your list. And on page 877 in this Bible, the Apostle Paul, he writes something to us so that we can get a hold of the gifts that we've been given by God to take and to share and to use in this world. You're a cow dog, Christian. And here's what Paul says in 4. There's different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we all serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. I want you to recognize that God is, that Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, isn't talking about the preachers. He's not talking about the missionaries. He's not talking about the pastors. He's talking about all believers. Everybody who is called on the name of Jesus. Everybody who has the Holy Spirit living inside of. If you're a born-again believer, Paul's talking to you and me. And we all got these gifts, and we all have a different service that we're going to do, and we're going to work in different ways. And it's the same God doing it in all of us. And in 7, he says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Doesn't say help me. Doesn't say make it better for me. Doesn't say make it easier for me so we can help each other. You and I are gifted for somebody else. Take hold of that truth. He said some people have a gift of special knowledge, of great faith, of healing, of miracles, of prophecy, to discern a message, the ability to speak other languages. But in 11 it said it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts, and He alone decides which gift each person ought to have. So the moment the Holy Spirit moved in, took a hold of you and I, we were given a gift. And we all know the whole thing about a gift. You got to open it. If we're given a gift, it's not okay just to hold the box. Open it. And the reality of opening that gift up in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 13:1. Turn the page. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but I don't love others, I'd only be a noisy gong. Clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I could have such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I'd be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I wouldn't have gained anything. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. That's how we know this ain't about us. Because we know that kind of love. We share that kind of love with our children. We share that kind of love with our family. We share that kind of love. And God has gifted us to share that kind of love with the world. With the people you and I don't even know. With people we have yet to meet. God has called us to go into all the world and take this message of hope and love and grace and forgiveness and faith to people who desperately need love and hope and grace and forgiveness and faith. It's such a struggle for us because we want to use our gifts for us. Peter even tells us in 1 Peter, trot all the way to your right. When you get past the T's and Hebrews, you come to 1 Peter. And on page 936 in this Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, Peter, the Apostle Peter, he tells us this: God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Don't use your gifts so that you have more. Don't use your gifts so that you get a bigger pile. Don't. We're not called to use our gifts on us. We're called to serve and to help other people with what we have been given, gifted with. What have we received that we can share? The reality of this is powerful for us. And it is easy for us to take these gifts and feel like we are expected to do better for us, because we've grown up in a culture that says, look out for you. If you don't look out for number one, nobody else is. If you're not going to take care of you, nobody else is. But we all know of men and women who are going through dramatic, trying circumstances whose faith is not failing. We all know men and women who have stood the test of their faith, and they're a powerful witness to us. And we think how beautiful that is, but next thing we think of is, I would do the same thing, Lord. If you'd just give me $1 zillion, I would bless so many people with it. Because we don't want to suffer. We don't want to show our faith through suffering. We want to show our faith through our blessing, what we consider is a blessing. So Lord, give us $1 million and let us go buy and give and help. But God has told us all through Scripture that our witness in the world, if it's to be believed, if it is to be believed, is for us to live it. And there are some people who God has blessed with a lot of money, and they give it away. But the majority of us are going to understand what it means if our blessings come through raindrops, through tears, through suffering. See, if our witness is to be believed in this world, if our witness about Jesus, if our words about our hope and our faith and our love is to be believed, it'll have to be lived. It will have to be lived. So the circumstances that we go through, the trials that come on us, the things that we worry and wish would never happen to us, that we pray through, are exactly what God is using to share His grace and love and mercy and forgiveness with this broken world that we live in. It's our responsibility as Christians to take a hold of this truth. And I want you to understand this promise in 2 Peter 1. Turn the page over to page 938. Peter reminds us another truth to underline in Scripture. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3, he said, by his divine power, by the authority of the God who spoke into creation, let there be light. By that divine power, God has given us, you and I, everything that we need for living a godly life. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of where you are, regardless of what you've done, regardless of anything, we have everything that we need to live this godly life. We've received all this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises, and these promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape this world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, Christian, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Do the work. And moral excellence with knowledge. Spend some time in the Bible. And knowledge with self-control. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes more than you have. But it's you got to take the first step. And self-control with patient endurance. Because we don't know the end. We don't know why. But we will patiently endure because we know that God is good. We know that God loves us. That God can work all things together for the good of those who are called and love Him. And patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you're going to be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop this way are short-sighted, blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. Thank God my yesterdays are gone. And so, brothers, work hard to prove that you really are among those that God has called and chosen. Do the work. Be who God has called us to be. Stand up. Stand out. Change what you've been doing so that you can prove that you are who God has called you to be. Take a hold. Bite something. Do these things and you'll never fall away. And then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This book is full of the promises and full of the authority and full of everything that you and I need. Driven by the Holy Spirit, living inside of each and every one of us, we have all that we need. What's it going to take for the light to turn on in your life? It's going to stop you from circling, from chasing yellow butterflies, from just loving being in the presence of your Savior and taking what He's given and gifted each and every one of us with into this world. I'm proud that we're a church who wants to do that. And I invite you to join in with us to do exactly that. Pray with me, church. Lord Jesus, You tell us in Your Word that it is a sin for us to know what we ought to be doing and don't do it. And I'm so guilty of thinking about me, of working on me, of developing me, of just thinking about how I want to accomplish things and what and how I'll steward what I think You've given to me and how I'll be more productive with that stuff. And in hindsight, I see that as a way for me to enjoy myself more. Lord, You've given me a family, a church, a community. You've given me a place. You've given me a calling and a gift. And it's my prayer that the light goes off in all of us. That we understand somehow and in some way that there's more to this than just loving Your Son. Than just being with Jesus in prayer and in worship. Lord, be relentless. Almighty God, change us starting today. Lord, I pray for revelation, insight, provision, and for movement. And I pray these things on the authority of Your Son, Jesus, whose death on that cross, whose life, death, and resurrection from the grave has given us access to You. Lord, it's in His name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I fly away to a land on God's blessed shore. Fly away when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I will fly away.
Hey, Jerry.
hallelujah, bye-bye.